Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast, the week of February 14th, and we're very pleased to have joining us today William F. Baker, formerly of WNET and now currently at Fordham University. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much, Tim. Nice to be here.
Now, Bill Baker has a piece in the current issue of America about, as part of our Catholics at Work series. Now, you're one of the people helping us to launch this series, so we're very much appreciative. Maybe we can begin by just talking about, I mean, here in New York, you're well known for some of the work you've done in public television, but maybe readers around the country, listeners around the country, you can kind of tell them the work you did.
Well, I had a long career in the media business, and it's still going on. I spent many years in commercial television, including running and being president of Westinghouse Television for many years. And I ran a Westinghouse TV station in Baltimore, and probably my claim to fame there was discovering, or at least giving Oprah Winfrey her beginning as a talk show host. Discovering is probably too strong a word. And then I was a television producer, and then later after Westinghouse, I went to public television with the idea that I'd do 2 years and go back to making money in the commercial world. But I stayed there 20 years, and I ran the flagship public television station here in New York, WNET, for all that time.
Now, what was it? What made you stay in public television?
Well, I think it's the mission, the values, the the kind of people that are around you. But mostly, one of the things I came to say toward the end was, in a business as powerful as the media business, to aim only for the bottom line is to aim too low. So I decided, you know, this is the place that I belong. This is a place where its mission was to try to use the power of the media to educate and do good. And that's where I stayed.
Now, looking back on your career there, 20 plus years, was there a particular show, a particular special that you're proud of?
Well, I mean, you know, they're all children, so it's really hard to separate them. I love them all. Some of the things that I think are, that stood out in this long career are some amazing, huge, great performances programs. As a matter of fact, that's one of the series, which is the primary cultural program of performing arts in America. And we produced the program that probably had the biggest audience in the history of television. Do you know what that might be?
No, tell
me. Three Tenors.
Oh, yes.
And
okay,
So that was seen by a billion people.
Wow.
all over the world.
Okay.
But, you know, since I'm here at America, probably the things that resonate the most are helping get started Religion and Ethics Newsweekly,
sure,
which is the kind of landmark program of serious discussions about religion and ethics values in America. I produced which might be in some ways the highlight of my kind of personal producing career, two theatrical movies. One premiered not far from here at Radio City, and that film was called The Face, 2,000 Years of Jesus and Art. And that won a National Emmy Award because it was also broadcast on television and has been every year for many, many years. And then the sequel to that called Picturing Mary. So those two films meant a lot to me.
Well, that can segue into our discussion about the Catholics at Work. So you're obviously a Catholic, you're working at an institution, you know, not a Catholic institution, a secular institution, yet there are ways that, you know, you were unable to kind of explore aspects of your faith, and it seems like a good example of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got lucky. I also think probably what happened to me, you know, people talk about mentors and people that, you know, kind of guide you. Maybe a word better than mentor might be example. When I was at Westinghouse, one of the things that, of course, running a secular, licensed secular media institution is that you can't use it and you shouldn't use it for proselytizing religion. These are secular institutions, they're licensed, etc. But I had a boss, and the boss was the chairman of the company. His name was Donald McGannon, a great luminary in the television world. And he was a man who used his own personal values to really lead and run one of the great broadcasting businesses in the history of broadcasting. As a matter of fact, my old company, Westinghouse, started the broadcasting business. The first radio station in America was KDKA. So McGannon never forgot that he had kind of values that were set by his faith. And he did things that were, at the time, very challenging. What he did was, among other things, he refused to take cigarette advertising on his television stations. That was a time when we were making a fortune in the cigarette advertising world. And this, again, was a commercial company. But he said, you know, cigarette advertising isn't good for the people. We won't take it. Certain television programs that were on the various networks that we carried, we were the biggest network affiliate at that time in America. And he just refused to carry certain television programs whose values he thought were not good for the audience. So I saw those examples of his. And, you know, again, living a person who really his values, his work ethic values really were derived from his faith. So I kind of took that with me. And when I went into public television, it was very interesting when Bob Abernathy came up to me and started talking about doing this program on religion and ethics on public TV. I liked the idea instantly, and I took it to my programming people. And the programming people at Channel 13 looked at me and said, well, Bill, you know, we're in public television. We get some government money here. It's, you know, it's a violation of the law. You can't do that. It's, you know, separation of church and state. And I thought, my gosh, you know, I don't think these folks get it. Yeah. You know, it's certainly not a violation of the law. As a matter of fact, if anything, it is a celebration of the law because America is such a country that is so defined by faith of all kinds. So I really insisted that this was a program that had to be done, and it had to be done on public television. It's now 11 years old, and really a genuine service to the people of America.
Now, there's another interesting dynamic working at a secular media outlet where your relationship with the church can sometimes, I mean, at least here in New York, as you well know, institutions like the New York Times maybe are looked on with a little wariness by the local church leaders. Was there something like that? I mean, you do recount an episode here regarding your relationship with Cardinal O'Connor. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yes, certainly. Well, you know, of course, yes, we are a secular institution, and it has also been always my view that one of the roles of media, particularly of good journalism, is to put things on the air and for me not to be the censor, to allow the public to make their own decisions about things. There was a program that that was produced by an independent producer about this was many, many years ago, about this group called ACT UP, I think was their name, in a very, very strong, almost unethical, perhaps unethical, activist group of gays back in the time when most of them were all dying of AIDS, etc. And they just struck out against the church and did some terrible things at St. Patrick's, desecrating the host, etc. This documentary went on, and the Los Angeles television station carried it. And Cardinal Mahoney in L.A. Came out strongly against the Los Angeles television station, saying that he asked that no Catholics support the station, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it became a big news item, and it was widely covered in the press and in the journalism. When that program came out, it was also offered to us here in New York, and of course, this entire incident happened in New York. We thought long and hard because we thought, wow, this program really is in many ways offensive, but it's very much in the news, and people, the audience, should have a chance to see and make up their own minds about these things that happen. And as a matter of fact, I think if anybody would have seen it, no matter how strongly they felt for the gay cause at that time, they would have realized this was really the wrong thing to do. So finally the decision came to me, and it was everybody knew hard for me because I am a Catholic, to decide what to do. And I said, we have to put it on the air. But we put it on the air, we thought, in the right way. We, you know, led up to it. We explained what this was before we showed it. We ran it late at night, you know, after 11 o'clock so that there'd be no kids up, we hoped. And we put it on the air. Well, Cardinal O'Connor, whom this terrible act was against, came out and was really offended by it, but really didn't have too much to say. I mean, he didn't come out like Cardinal Mahoney. At any rate, he and I were pretty good friends, and we wound up having lunch about a week later, and Cardinal Mahoney Cardinal O'Connor and I started talking. I said, "Well, Cardinal, we've got to at least bring this subject up, and you know, I know how you feel about it, and you know, I just want you to, you know, I hope that you that you have some feelings of sympathy for my situation, and forgiveness. And he said, well, I don't think forgiveness is the right word. I think righteous indignation is the right word. And that was the end of that conversation.
Well, this is a continuing struggle, I think, for the church to figure out how to interact with secular media in a way. You know, sometimes, especially in the wake of the sexual abuse crisis, there's some worry among some Catholics that perhaps newspapers or television stations are out to get the church. What do you think is kind of a productive response from, I mean, just as somebody who's been in the business a long time, from church officials to, you know, how to deal with the media?
Well, I mean, I do understand, you know, an organization, when something awful happens inside a huge and complex organization, you really don't like to see yourself attacked or unveiled or revealed. But in this case, I think all one can do, particularly the church, but I think any of us, when something happens in our lives that winds up being held out to public scrutiny, I think one can say, you know, I have erred, and we want you to know this happened, and we want you to know that we're going to make sure this kind of thing never happens again. I think that's all one can do. But whenever one tries to cover up things, that's when you really get into trouble. So, of course, there's pain, and there's pain inside the Catholic Church, because the vast majority of the priests in this country are wonderful, selfless individuals. And to see terrible acts happen, of course, the church then winds up getting painted with that brush, the entire church, when it's really only a small number of people, a small percentage. But that's a reality we all have to live with.
You mentioned in your piece how that your spiritual vocabulary has given you a big advantage in your career, and that you know how you've seen your work in sort of a sacramental light. Maybe you could talk about that.
Well, you know, I feel like in a lot of ways, and matter of fact, one of the terms I use often is that I'm here to do God's work. The work, particularly my work in public media, was, as many media figures in the public TV world say, kind of using media for its best use and its highest use. And when I also thought about, matter of fact, this is a thing that that Cardinal Mahoney once said to me when we were videotaping a big event out in Los Angeles, a musical event, and I guess it may have even been one of the Three Tenors concerts, and he wanted to go, and I said, well, you know, why do you want to be here? And he said, well, you know, really beautiful music gets you closer to God. And I thought, well, you know, that's really probably true. The arts, music particularly, beautiful art, really is a way that that shows humanity and it's at its very, very best. One of the things I'm doing now in my kind of retired life as a professor at Fordham University is teaching Fordham's first class at Juilliard. And this class at Juilliard is for Fordham students and Juilliard students, but mostly Juilliard students, who are these brilliant, brilliant performers. But it's a course on business. It's the only business class at Juilliard. And what we're doing is trying to explain to these brilliant musicians and other performers, you know, who really are, through their work, getting very close to God, hopefully, how to sustain that work. And as you can imagine, no matter how gifted you are these days, trying to make a living and paying the rent and paying the food bills, if you are a performer, a performing arts person, especially in serious performing arts, serious music, it's very difficult to do. So I feel like I'm still trying to do my part for the performing arts.
Well, you mentioned your work. You're now a journalist in residence in Fordham, is that correct?
Correct, and a professor at the Graduate School of Education. It's a wonderful place.
Okay, and you have offices at Columbia University, you were saying, as well?
I have offices at Columbia and at the IESE Business School in Barcelona, Spain.
Wow, okay. Well, keeping busy in your post-public television life. And one of the projects you're working on is this program called Sacred. Maybe you could describe that for us.
Yes, Sacred is a kind of follow-up to the Face of Jesus film and the Mary film. And the goal of Sacred is it's a theatrical movie, which we hope to premiere again at Radio City and then big theater venues around the motion picture theater venues around the country. The goal of this film, Sacred, is subtitled The Children of Abraham. And what it does is it hopes to, in a very artful and beautiful way, look at the liturgy, the art, the music, the architecture of the three Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and to celebrate all three of them. There are similarities, there are great differences, but yet they all come from, in many respects, the same seed, Abraham, and they all recognize the same seed, Abraham. So we're hoping that by showing these three faiths in great beauty, and our thinking right now is the film will be shot in 3D, that it might do something that is pretty good for the three faiths and encouraging them to celebrate more one another.
And finally, you conclude your piece by saying, you know, in many ways you've kind of come home going back to Fordham. Is there something, you know, you find solace in kind of coming full circle here?
Well, yes. I mean, all of my academic life, all of my school, I was always at secular schools. I went to public primary and secondary school. I went to private, non-religious universities, and of course, I've only worked in secular media. So I had to be always very careful, but I also was not afraid to let people know that I was a Catholic. Here, you know, finally coming, what I'd say is really coming home, working at a school which is really genuinely faith-based. This wonderful Jesuit school that's proud to be Catholic and is proud of its Catholic heritage, particularly its Jesuit heritage. It feels real good, and I have such respect for the board and particularly Father McShane, the president, and the wonderful things that happen there, and the fact that this great educational institution, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, is Roman Catholic of my faith. So I'm happy to kind of say this is my last landing pad.
Well, Bill Baker, a neighbor of ours for a long time, but never came by America House, and we're so happy you did to talk with us today.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
I want to thank you again for joining us for this week's podcast. Reminder to check online this week where we have a reflection from Bishop Gerald Kakanis on ministering to the shooting victims in Tucson. We also have a review of the film The Rite, starring Anthony Hopkins, from Father Raymond Schroth. A reminder that you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.